I want to talk to you a little bit and let's share some thoughts for a little bit this morning on perseverance. And last night in family worship, we were looking at this and asking, you know, the things that I had seen in the Bible about perseverance, examples of it, and then Cheryl would think of some and Heather would think of some. And that's what I'd like to do this morning is you will have remembrances in the Bible of people that was an example to you in perseverance, not giving up. And another word that went with that was tenacity, yeah. Hanging on in spite of difficulty. I've got this direction in my life that I'm going to go and I'm not giving up. Now I had an example back when I was a boy. Dad used to raise bulldogs. They weren't the ones with the big floppy skin and everything, but they were bulldogs. And those dogs had a trait, the ones we had anyhow. they weren't just mean all the time. They were a friendly little pet. But they had a place where they would break. If another dog would come and attack them for a little bit, they would not fight seriously. But there would come to a point where those little bulldogs would say, okay, I've had enough. And they would go for the other dog's throat. And when they got a hold to it, they'd close their eyes and hang on. And there's nothing you could do to stop them. I still have a spot on my thumb where I said, you know, I think I can pull him and he'll let go. And he clamped down. I guess he just wanted to bite on anything that looked like meat because he got my thumb. You could do anything you wanted to and he would not let go. The only thing that would make him let go is to take water and spray him hard enough with water that he had to let go to catch him a breath of air. As long as he could get air, he would keep his mouth closed. What I'd like to think about with that is, you know what, there are many people today that have a level of salvation, what they call salvation. I was talking to a guy at work. And he said that one of the churches, Life Church, here up on 2nd Street, have a lot of members. And they have other churches. But there's only one man that preaches, and the rest of them in all these other buildings around the state or wherever, they will just see a film of it. It will be broadcast on television screen. And he told me, he said, so many people get saved there that you don't have an altar. You couldn't take care of that many people with an altar. Said what you do is they have cards and you sign on the card, I would like to accept Christ. And said, and then after that, somebody will do a follow up to help you through that. And he said they would have so many people for baptism, that they would rent the, Frontier City. They would rent Frontier City for a day. That way you could have fun after having been baptized. But they said that down in that big area in the parking lot, they would set up 3 swimming pools and they would baptize 1,000 people. Said it would be whole families. I want to be baptized. Now, something that comes along with that, if you don't go real deep in salvation, if it's just a surface, I think about the verse that said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. If all those people had a change of person about them, old things are passed away. Now, a lot of times you never see a change. The level that you see is, I accepted Christ. We don't go to the level and say, I wonder if he's accepting me now that I have accepted him. Because, you know, to be saved, it is very simple. It is coming to the Lord and telling him, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. And he forgives those sins. Well, the problem is if I would die right then, everything would be fine. Everybody would go to heaven if they died right after they said, Lord, I am sorry for those sins that I've, and truly be sorry. But you know, there's a verse that says in Proverbs says, he that confesseth and forsaketh is the one that'll have mercy. So tomorrow when I get up after having told the Lord, I'm sorry for all those sins that I've committed, it's got to be a new creature. It has got to be as he teaches me, and maybe, you know, we are responsible people. I have been raised to know, what does the Lord require of thee? Here's some things that he requires. So the day I get saved, I know some things that I need to quit doing, I need to be doing. Maybe those people are ignorant to that. But you know what? As the Lord deals with them and shows them something, they've got to move to that light or they'll be lost. And what we've got to do is with this, have a tenacity about my salvation. I am not going to let it go. If I have to go back and clear something up, I'll go back there and clear it up. I'm going to be like that bulldog. I've clamped onto this thing. I want to see what's at the end of this race. I hear there's heaven out there for me, and I want to be able to make it. So I was looking at some examples, because one of them, you remember the woman with the, where she went to the judge and she said, avenge me of mine adversary. I got some trouble here and I need some help. This is in Luke 18 and 1 through 8. Avenge me of my adversaries. And he had a lot, it seemed like just in my words here, he had a lot of things going on that was more pressing than this problem that she had. But you know what she did? She kept on coming back. She just kept on and said, and to the point that he said, you know what, though I don't fear God or man, I tell you what, this lady is getting on my nerves and I'm going to give her what she wants so she won't come back again tomorrow. And it's telling us something about, I've got my heart set into this thing. I'm going to go for it. There was another one in Luke, the 11th chapter, starting in the 5th verse. Remember where the man said he came to his friend at night, and he told him, I've had company come tonight and I don't have what I need to set before them. Would you please get up and give me some loaves of bread so I'll have something to feed my company that's come? And he said, look, he said, I'm already in bed. The children are in bed. Don't bother me. I'm not going to do it. But he said, because he kept on calling, kept on telling him, but I need some help. Finally, you know what? He can't sleep. So he gets up and he gives him what he needs. I'm thinking about for us, to have that desire that when I'm tested, and I believe the Lord is going to test us every once in a while. He did it with the woman that was needing help for her child, asking, would you please help me out? To the point that the disciples said, Lord, why don't you send her away? She's bothering us. And it went to the place where he said, it's not meet. This is Matthew 15 and 22. It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now, you know what? If you're not hanging on like that bulldog, you're going to be shaken off when something like this comes your way. Yes. And I believe the Lord wants to, with all of us, every once in a while, he wants to test us. How bad do you want this? How serious are you about living for me? Yes. It says, if the horsemen have wearied thee, if the footmen have wearied thee, certain things, then the next level, how are you going to make it through that level? How are you going to make it through the swelling of the Jordan if just going with a footman, you could hardly make it? It's about us being able to get a hold and saying, Lord, I'm going through with you. Now, there is a song. It's number 106 in our blue book. The verse I had remembered said, many there are who start in this race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. Many accept it because it's new, but not very many expect to go through. But then the chorus says, but switch it over now. I've got to make a decision. Just because everybody else is not making it, am I going to say, I'll tell you, I guess I'll just have to flow with them. No, this says, but I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. You know, even I thought about it this morning as we were coming to service. It was cold at my house this morning. And you know, when you step outside and you're going to get in that cold car to come to service, you could have said, wow, I don't know. I had a wood stove just a roar and it was putting the heat off. I could sit right in front of that thing and me and the Lord could talk all morning long. I think I'll just stay right here. But you know what we need to have, and I'm not saying that if some didn't make it because of bad weather, it's a different thing. But I kind of think about for myself, Lord, I'd like to show you that I'm willing to press through some troubles in my life. Not just weather, but things can come our way. I think I had some trouble getting up this morning to come out here. I was thinking about sister bringing her walker along with her. You know what? She had to have this bulldog tenacity. Lord, I tell you what, I'd like to be in service this morning. I got some good reasons for staying home. I can't hardly walk anyhow. And I tell you, on this ice, it sure be slippery. I'm going to lay in the bed. I'll listen to a tape or something. But she pressed out this morning. And I believe what the Lord will do on times like that is he'll pour us out a special blessing. There was another one. Well, let me give you a minute. Do you remember an incident in the Bible that gives you an example of tenacity? This person says, this is the direction I'm going. I'm not going to give it up. The one with the issue of blood, she had it in her mind to tell you what, if I could just reach the hem of his garment. And it said that they were thronged about him to the point that when he said, somebody touch me, they said, well, yes. They're all around you touching you. What are you thinking? He said, but I felt some virtue go out of me. This woman could have said, there's no way I can reach him. In fact, I don't even feel very good, first of all. I shouldn't even have gotten out of the house. But she said in her mind, this bulldog tenacity, perseverance, if I can just reach him, and I'm going to do what it takes to reach him. Another one was Zacchaeus. Little short guy, a lot of folks wanting to see Jesus. And he says, I want to see him too. He could have said, you know what, there's no way I'm going on back home. These folks are all taller than I am. I don't see anything but their backs. But he says, nah, I want it. Now, for the man that he was, that doesn't really look so good. I'm going to climb this tree. But you know what, he said, I want to see Jesus. And this is going to be the only way. And there was something happening in his heart. We see it happening. As soon as Jesus says, I want to come to your house to eat with you, Zacchaeus could have said, well, yeah, I can get some groceries together pretty quick. But his heart wasn't there. His heart was, Lord, I tell you what, anything that I've been doing wrong, I'm ready to take care of those things. There was some preparation going on, more than just I'd like to see who Jesus looks like. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. That whole chapter is a whole lot of examples for us. Moses choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Several people there. Noah was one of them. Talk about perseverance was from God telling him, here's what I need you to do. And he works on it for 100 years. I see that as an example of our life. The day that I get saved and he starts giving me instructions on how to build my life. And I start out with that day by day. I will not give up. He had to have had times in that 100 years to say, boy, they have been coming here every day laughing at me. And in fact, when I try to explain to them this boat out here on dry land, they've never seen it rain before. And if I was building, you know, most ships, they're built right next to water, so they can be slid off into the water. His is maybe in his backyard, away from water, and he's trying to explain that. Look, this whole thing is going to flood. Well, how will it happen? Well, there's going to be a flood, but it's never even rained. It's been due up until now. But he kept on. He had the perseverance to keep on. You know, the three wise men had some perseverance about them. To start out, we saw a star in the east, and we believe it means something. There is a king to be born, and they pressed to come all the way to see him. What about Jacob? When he was wrestling with the angel, at the point that Jacob's thigh is out of joint, I'm hurting now. You know, that's when you say, let's call a truce. I'll tell you what, I don't feel so good right now myself. You go your way and I'll go mine. But instead, he realized there's something in this more than just us wrestling. There is a blessing that I want. This is a special someone that I'm connected to right here. And I believe there's a blessing for me if I'll hold on. And that's what he did to where daylight is coming on. And the angel says, hey, turn me loose. Turn me loose. And he said, nah, I won't do it. And you know, the pain that you would have in wrestling when your leg is out of joint, you got to forget about that pain and you say, but there's a goal that I've got in mind and I'm hanging on for it. Would not turn it loose until the Lord blessed him. So I'd like to look at a verse, Matthew, in the 11th chapter. Because I look at these 1,000 people that get baptized at Frontier City, and then I start looking at some verses like this, the 11th chapter, the 12th verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm going to have to put some effort into this. I'm going to have to make up my mind. I'm going to have salvation by the Lord's help. I'm going to need his grace. But he's already said that he wants to help me. So I'm going to go after it because I want to make heaven my home in the end. Another one's in Luke, the 16th chapter. It's kind of similar. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it, has made up his mind, this is what I want, and he goes after it. An example that I had that I've looked at is Paul. From the time that Paul was converted, and the Lord told him something that, you know, maybe each one of us would say, wow, this will be a great journey walking with the Lord. Acts in the 9th chapter and in the 15th verse. If the Lord would say this to you, the Lord said, go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me. That'd be a nice thing for Christ to say about each of us. This man is a chosen vessel for me, to me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. Now, that sounds pretty good. Yeah. But look at this next verse. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, you talk about perseverance. You talk about tenacity, saying I'm headed in this direction, and I will not turn around. When his own people turned against him, that's where most of his problem came from, his own people turned against him to the point that those men banded together. And I said, I tell you what, we won't eat or drink another thing until Paul is dead. And who did they go to get their plot to work? They went to the religious leaders, to the chief priests, and said, okay, let's put this plot together. Tomorrow, you go ask the governor to send Paul down. You have some questions that you want to talk to him about. So this wasn't just 30 bad guys that were out here wanting to do evil. This was the religious leaders that had banded up with it. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to call for him to come down. While he's coming, y'all catch him and kill him. Then you'll be able to eat on the same day that you did it. But instead, God comes along and gives them notice to where they took him away. But these are the things that Paul, when he said, I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for my name. Look at the many times that Paul had opportunity to say, you know what, this is just a little too much. I'm going to let go of this thing. It's not worth the effort. Where he said in Acts, the 20th chapter, none of these things move me. Yeah. All the things that have happened in my life, I'm not turning loose. And I'd like for you, as we go from here today, remember the bulldog. When he gets in and he says, okay, this is what I've, my goal now, I'm hanging on. He'll close his eyes. He's not looking around. He's got his jaw set. And it's till death unless you can separate him. And here Paul says, there's nothing that's going to separate me from the love of Christ. In the 8th chapter of Romans, and I tell you this, we can look back at Paul. But you know what? We need to look at our lives today because there's going to be a lot of things that would like to separate us from the love of God. 8th chapter in the 35th verse of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay, in all these we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 37th verse. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then when he finished it all up, after he had had all these tests come against him, and now it's wrapping it up, he had never turned loose of the Lord. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, it talks about fighting the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. He was doing that. And at the end of it, when he was able to have the testimony, knowing that his life would come to an end, shortly come to an end, 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have stayed my direction of living for the Lord. And he said, henceforth there's a crown laid up for me, but not for me only, but for everybody else that loves his appearing. Everybody else that makes up their mind, I tell you what, I'm going to live for the Lord no matter what comes my way. Should the Lord test me as he did the woman and say, but it's just not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs, I tell you what, I'll humble myself and I'll come back like she did and say, yes, Lord, you're right. But I tell you what, there's the dogs get to eat some crumbs that fall off of that table. Yeah, it's true, I may not get the same blessing that the Jews would get, but I tell you what, it's so rich to me, if I can just get a few crumbs, I'll be happy with it. And he could not turn that one down. And I believe the same way with us. When he sees when some tests come our way, I will not let it get me down. If I fail the Lord, I'm not turning back. The verse that says, a just man falls seven times. Yes. Does he say after the seventh time, I tell you what, this is a perfect number, I quit. He gets right back up and goes ahead straight on again. There was one more that I'd like to give in closing. And that was when Elijah knew, this is it. I'm going to be called away from here today. I'm leaving. And Elisha somehow got a feeling of it too. And Elijah told him, said, look, you stay here. I'm going to the next town. And Elisha said, no way. I'm going with you. And so they would go to that town, and then Elijah would say, okay, Elisha, you stay here because I'm going on a little more distance. No. Each time he let him know, I'll tell you what, I'm going with you. And finally Elijah asked him, said, what is it that you want from me? What are you looking for? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, well, you know, that's a hard thing, but I tell you what, if you see me when I go up, you'll have that blessing given to you. Now I want to ask you something. When he said that, did Elisha say, well, okay, I appreciate that. I'll tell you what, I got to run down the store and get me a little drink or some crackers or something. I'm hungry. I'll be back. I don't think you're going just yet. Nuh-uh. He stayed with him. His eyes were on him all the time. You move this way, I'm moving this way. I'm going to be right with you. To the point that he saw him when he was carried up and he received that. To us, there's a lot of distractions today for us to get our mind off on, when what we need to do is have this tenacity. This is what I want in my life. I will have it. It doesn't matter. Some things the Lord will allow us to be tested with to see if I'm still going to hold out. Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. Yes. Because I want to see heaven, my home, in the end. There's a song that I'd like for us to sing in closing. It's number 223. There may not be much that we can do about our country and the direction it's going, but this song says, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. And then that last verse says, then forward let us go. Let's go and be faithful to the Lord. Desire prayer.